Today Shir's Masech, the Shabbos Daf Kuf. We will begin at Daf Tzadik Tesov and Beis, two lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Mayim al gabe Mayim hanin nechosim. If you pick up water from water. So the way Rashi explains our Gemara, in order for an act to be considered a valid Akira, it has to become from a state of rest. And since water is always in a state of motion, so if you pick up water from water, maybe it's not considered a Maisa Akira, and therefore you shouldn't be Chayiv. Teaches us the Gemara that when we look at water, we don't look at water as if it's the water, you're picking the water from the top of the water, as if you're picking up water from water, and therefore it's not being picked up with a proper Akira. It's not being picked up from a state of rest. The way it should be looked at is that all the water is one unit, which is being picked up from the ground. And since it's being picked up from the ground, it's considered a valid Maisa Akira. However, ego is a gabamayim. If you have a nut on top of water, there, lav hainan chasam. A nut on top of water is not considered at rest. And since it's not considered at rest, it's not considered a valid Maisa Akira. So the machlokes Rashi and Rambam, how to understand the second halacha of ego is a gabamayim. Rashi learns, as we just explained, that since the nut that's on top of the water is not in a state of rest, since it's not in a state of rest, it's not considered a Maisa Akira. Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam's approach is that in order for something to be considered a valid Maisa Akira, it has to be in a situation where you're picking it up from a Makom Choshev. When the ego is al gabe mayim, it's not considered like you're being picked up from a makom choshev. As we've learned so many times in our Masechta, in order for a situation to be considered a valid Maisa Akira, it has to be picked up from a place which is dalad al dalad. So similarly, mayim is not considered a makom choshev that's considered a dalad al dalad, a makom choshev that's considered a Akira from that area. But when you're picking it up you're picking water up, as we said a minute ago, the Rambam's opinion is that the water is considered connected to the ground. So you're picking it up from a makom choshev. The ground is a makom choshev. What would be the nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam's approach? If you would have a body of water that's stationary. So according to Rashi, the issue with water is because it's not stationary. But if the water is stationary, so then, according to Rashi, it would be considered a valid Akira. Whereas, according to Tosfos, according to the Rambam, even if the water is stationary, it's still not considered you're picking up the nut from a Makom Choshev, and it would not be considered a Maisa Akira. But now ask the Gemara, Boy Rava, Egois Bekeli, you have a nut in the Keli, the Keli Tzofel Gabemayim, and the Keli is floating on the water. Mahu. What would be the halacha if you take that nut and you put it somewhere else? Mi aminin, basa egez is linen. We look at the nut for naich, because the nut is at rest in the keli, and therefore it's considered you did a valid akira. Adilma, basa keli is linen. Do we look at the keli, and the keli is floating on the water, v'olay naich, and therefore it's not considered a proper maisa akira. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. So, again, according to Rashi, the issue is that it's sitting on the water, and the water is not standing still, and since it's not standing still, that's why it's not considered a proper mice, that's why it's not considered a proper mice akira. It's very important to point out, Tosfos says, at the beginning of our Masechta, that the discussion that we're having in our Gemara, if this is considered a valid Maisa Akira or not, if something not at rest is considered a Maisa Akira or not, is only regarding Hilchos Shabbos. Why? Because as we keep on repeating in our Shiurim, when we speak about Shabbos, there we learn from the Mishkan. And when things were picked up in the Mishkan, they were picked up from a state of rest. But when we speak about other halachas, there it's not the same.
And therefore, something that's even not necessarily at a state of rest, it could be, it will be considered that even if it's on the Gabi Mayim, it can be considered still at a state of rest. Where is this Negeya? The halacha is, if you're sitting on a, in those days, on an animal, in our days, in a car, there's a klal of rochav kumahalach. If you're sitting, is it considered like you're walking, or is it considered like you're in a state of rest? So Taisha says you can't connect the two halachas. Says the Gemara, shemen al gabe yayin. We know that oil does not mix with other liquids. So you have oil on top of wine. The oil will flow to the top. And what's the halacha? Is the oil that's on top of the wine considered at rest? And if you pick up that oil, it's considered a maisa akira or not? So actually, as Rashi points out at the beginning of the Masechta and all the Rishonim point out, that the question that the Gemara is discussing does not necessarily have to be speaking about a case where it's oil on top of wine. Were it to be oil on top of water, we would have the exact same question. The reason the Gemara chose to speak about oil on top of wine, because we're going to bring the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbanon regarding Tuma Tahara, and there is no, and Truma, and there's no Truma on water. So that's why the Gemara spoke about wine and oil, both liquids that have Hilchas Truma. But the question is not limited to oil and wine. So it says the Gemara, Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It's Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Tefillah Yoyim, Perek Beis Mishnah Hei teaches us. Shemesh Hatzof Al Gabi Yayin, oil that's floating on top of water. V'Nogat Tefillah Yoyim, somebody who's Tamei. We know it goes to the mikvah, but until he has Herav Shemesh, until the day ends, he has a low-level tumah. If he touches that Shemen, like Pasal Elah Shemen, he only disqualifies the Shemen. And the reason why the Mishnah there speaks specifically about Tful Yoyim is, as we just explained, a Tful Yoyim has a very low-level tumah. So since he has a very low-level tumah, if the two, the wine and the oil are not considered connected to each other, so that's why, just because the oil gets tamei, even though it's touching the wine under it, it doesn't have the ability to transfer tuma further. But if a real tamei touched the oil on top, even if the oil and the wine are not considered one, but the oil certainly got tamei, and if the tamei the oil touched the wine under it, it would transfer tuma to the wine. So that's why we specifically speak about it for yayim. So loy pasal al shemen, he paskins, the rabban paskin, it only affects the shemen because they're not considered one. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Yomer, shneim chibul zelazeh, they're considered connected to each other, and therefore, if one becomes tamei, the other one automatically becomes tamei. And therefore, says the Gemara, the same thing will be regarding Hilchas Shabbos. If you pick up oil from wine, according to the Chachamim, it's that says that they're not considered connecting, so it's like an egois hatsof al gabamayim, because something resting on something which is not in motion is not considered munach. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that the oil and the wine are considered one, and they're resting on the keli, and therefore they're going to be considered one. Continues the Gemara. Omar by Baba Rishus Rabbim. You have a pit in Rishus Rabbim Moka Sora. If it's 10 tefachim deep, rochav shmoina. And it's 8 tefachim wide. V'zarek l'toichem machzels. And you threw a mat into that pit. And at that point, it divides the pit into two that don't have the proper dimensions of Rishus Yachid. Chilka b'machzels. If the chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. And of course, this is pashut. As Rashi points out, the reason we're going to, Gemara mentions this din is for the next din. Chilka b'machzelas, but if you divided the bar with a machzelas, then potter, because you don't have a Rishus HaYochid anymore. So Rishonim ask, why when you throw the mat into the bar, are you certainly chayiv? Why? It lessens the height of the bar. So the Miri has the easiest way of learning this Gemara. The Meiri's approach is that we're dealing with a bar which is more than 10 tefachim deep. So even if you threw the mechtzelis into the bar, it's still 10 tefachim deep and it's still Rosh Hashanah Yachid. However, many other Rishonim say that since this is a machzelis, a mat is not meant to be kept there on a permanent basis. So since it's not meant to be kept there on a permanent basis, that's why it's not considered as if it's being mamat or Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because it's going to be taken out eventually. Says the Gemara, according to Abaya, that when you put the machzels in a vertical fashion, so now it's no longer Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Koshkein, certainly if you throw there a chulya, the vatla mechitzta. Because if you throw a clod of earth, that is going to remain there permanently, and it will make that area is no longer Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Rabbi Yochanan, who on our previous shir asked the question, when you put a chulya into a bar, and you intend to leave the chulya in the bar, and he didn't know how to look at that situation, certainly by machzelis pshita, he'll hold that a machzelis, which is not something that is as likely to be left there as a chulya, the lo mevatla mechitzta, and the bar remains a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And as the Rishonim explained, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan chose in our previous year to ask the question regarding a chulya and not regarding a machzelis, what Rabbi Yochanan was coming to teach us is that by machzelis, I have no question. It's certainly chayif. Vamar Bayah. Bar Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Amuka Asara. If you have Bar Rosh Hashanah that's 10 tefachim deep, Rach v'arba, and it's 4 tefachim wide, even though it's Malei Mayim, it's full of water, v'zarek, and you throw something from the Shusarabim into that place, v'zarek l'toichei chayiv, because it's considered that you threw into something into the Rishus Hayochid. However, Malei Paris, if you fill that pit with fruit, v'zarek l'toichei, and you throw something into it, you potter. Ask the Mar Mai Tama, what's the difference if it's full of water or it's full of peiris? Answers the Gemara, Mayim lo mevatlu mechitzta, water doesn't take away that this should be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Peiris do have the ability of mevatlu mechitzta. So there's a big machlokes rishonim, why is there a difference between fruit and water? The Ramban says that the walls of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid must be visible. So when you fill up the Rosh Hashanah Yachid with water, so the walls of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid are still visible, and that's why it remains Rosh Hashanah Yachid. However, where you fill it up with peiris, so the walls are no longer visible, that's why it's no longer Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The Meiri has a different approach. He says, when you fill it up with fruit, the fruit prevents you from being able to use the pit because it's no longer considered a kli kibble because you can't throw something in to an area that's full of solids. However, if it's full of water, you could still throw an object into that pit. Says the Magen Avraham and the Sfas Emes that what would be the halacha if the pit is full of glass? So if we follow the Ramban's approach, I could see the walls. But according to the Meiri, I filled up the pit with something that prevents other items from being able to fall into the pit. Or what's going to be the halacha if it's full with water that's not clear? You filled it up with wine. So says the Prima Gadim, according to the Ramban, you can't see the walls of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And since you can't see the walls of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it can't be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. However, according to the Meiri, it doesn't make a difference what type of liquid you used. If you could throw something in and it'll be able to fit in, it's still going to be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Furthermore, the Ramban and the Rashba make a point to say that when our Gemara says that if it's full with peiris, it's no longer Rosh Hashanah Yachid,
they say it's only the type of peiris that cannot be removed on Shabbos. Since these peiris cannot be removed on Shabbos, so they become there permanently, the muksa, let's say the tevel peiris, or other types of fruit that are muksa. But if the peiris that were thrown into that Rishus HaYachid, into the bar of our Gemara, are peiris that are not muksa, usually fruit is not muksa, so even though currently they're there, but since they could easily be removed, that area would still be considered a Rishus HaYachid. Says the Gemara Tanya Nami Hachi, Hazorik Merayam Lasratya. If you throw from the yam, which we're going to learn, we've learned, and we're going to learn in our shir, is considered a Rishus HaYachid, a Carmelis, to the Sratya, which is a Rishus HaRabim. Or Menasratya Liyam, from the Rishus HaRabim to the Carmelis. So Midaraisa, transferring from a Carmelis to a Rishus HaRabim, or Rishus HaYachid, is not an Issa Deraisa. Rav Shimon Omer comes along, Rav Shimon says, Im Yesh B'makom Shazark Omek Asar V'rachav Arba, if there's a pit that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, chayiv, because it becomes a Rishus HaYachid, because if you have a pit that's separated from the rest of the yam with these proper dimensions, even though it's considered, even though it's full of water, it's considered Rishus HaYachid. So of course, many Rishonim asked the question. The Gemara began with the words Tanya Nami Hochi, that this brisa supports what we just learned. But only the opinion of Rav Shimon supports what we just learned, not the opinion of the Chachamim. So how does the Gemara learn that this is a support? So many Rishonim, the Tosfos Arosh, and many other Rishonim suggest that regarding this, there's really no machloikis here between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is just coming to explain what the Chachamim just taught us. But there really is no machloikis. Others say, the Rambam seems to learn, that there certainly is a machloikis between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon, and the raya the Gemara is bringing is from the opinion of Rav Shimon, even though the Rabbanon disagree. The Ravid has a third approach. The Ravid says that if, what's the case that we just discussed? It was the pit that's in the yam. So he says, that's where there's a machloikis Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon. But he says, what we learned from this Gemara, which was the case that we started this piece of Gemara, that if you had a pit that is that has the proper dimensions of a Rishus HaYachid, which happens to be full of water, it's still considered a Rishus HaYachid. And that the Rabbanon don't disagree with. The Rabbanon only are disagreeing in our Gemara, because our Gemara is referring to a situation where this pit is within the yam, and since the entire yam is considered a karmelis, the pit that's in it can't be considered, according to Rabbanon, a distinct area. But if it were a regular pit, even the Rabbanon would hold that, and it's, even if it's filled with water, they would agree it's a Rishus HaYachid. Says the Mishnah, Hazorik Arba Amis, a kaisel. If somebody throws an object towards a wall and it travels 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim, lamal masar tfachim, if it traveled above asar tfachim, kazarik baver. Because as we've learned, Rishus HaRabim doesn't go higher than 10 tfachim. Lamata masar tfachim, but if you threw something below 10 tfachim, within 10 tfachim of the ground, kazarik ba'aretz, it's like throwing in the ground, it's like throwing for dalat amos and yechayiv. Hazorik ba'aretz arba amos is chayif. Ask the Gemara, to order to be chayif, you always have to have a hanocha. And if you throw something and it hits the wall, it's not considered that there was a hanocha. V'alai noch, answers the Gemara, Am Rav Yochanan, b'dvei l'shmei n'shanina. Our Mishnah is talking about a sticky fig that touches the wall, that sticks to, that adheres to the wall. So the Rishonim point out that either we're talking a situation where the wall is a little more than 4 amos from where you threw it, because even if this fig is sticking to the wall, it should diminish from the 4 amos that I threw. But if it was a little more than 4 amos from where I threw, that problem would be resolved. Or some Rishonim want to say that since it's such a small amount that the fig takes up
when it adheres to the wall, it's not considered significant enough that it should make it not be considered that you threw Dalar Amos. Amar Yudam Rav. Rav Chia. Amar Rav Yudam Rav. Amar Rav Chia. Zorak Lamalam Asorah. If somebody threw something above 10 Tfachim, V'holchav V'nochav B'kol Kershahu, and it landed within the wall in a crevice. Banu Machlokes Ramei Rabbanan. This is a Machlokes that we have in Masech the Yuma between Ramei and Rabbanan. The question over there is that in order for a door to be chayv in a mezuzah, it has to be 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide. Ramei and the Chachamim discuss a door that looks like an arch that isn't 4 tefachim wide, however, on the top, but there's a wall there, and you could kind of halacha view as if the wall is missing. Rameyda Amar Choykikin Lahashlam. Rameyda says that the halacha takes and says as if the wall is carved out, and I have the proper dimensions of the door, and Mechayev. So just like Rabbi Yehuda over there, that you could carve out, if there was place to carve out a proper door, you're going to be Chayev in a mezuzah. Here too, if there's room, explained the Rishonim, that you could carve out a place of Dalat Tfachim, it's going to be considered that you made a proper Hanocha on Rishus HaYochid. However, Rabbanan D'Omri Ein Chaykikin L'Hashlim, the Rabbanan opinion over there is that we don't hold Chaykikin L'Hashlim, Loi Chayiv, because since this crevice in which it fell doesn't have Dalat Tfachim, and we learned earlier, if it doesn't have a dal tfachim, it can't be considered a rishus ayochid. Tanya mihachi, and so do we learn in a brisa. Zorak lemalam asoro. If somebody threw something above 10 tfachim, v'holcha v'nocha v'kol koshu, remei mechayiv, because we say chaykikin lahashlim v'chachamim paitrim. Of course, Taisa says that it has to be also the proper height to be considered a Rishus HaYochid. Amar Yudam Rav, tell him a slaket asara mitoich arba. If you have, says the Gemara, if you have an incline, and the measure of the incline is that 10 tefachim within a span of 4 amas. So the way the Mishnah Berurah tells us is that we measure the incline itself. And what the point of this Gemara teaches us, the Mishnah Berurah, is that if you have an incline, a slope, that is so significant, if you have a slope that's so significant, it's loy nichet shmishtei, it's not a place that's easily walkable on, it's an inconvenient place, and therefore it's considered a separate area. So says the Gemara again, Amar Yudam Rav, tell him slakir asar matoich arba, the Zorak, and you threw something from the Rishus Rabbim, the Noch al Gabov, and it rests on top of this incline, Chayiv. Because we look as this as a distinct area, which is a Rishus HaYochid. So in other words, if you have a very steep incline in the middle of your Rishus Rabbim, that will be considered a separate Rishus HaYochid. It says the Gemara Tanina Mehochi. Mavi, we learned. We're going to learn extensively. Psech the Ervin. If you have a mavi, an alleyway that has three walls, and the fourth side is completely open, in order to be able to carry within that mavi, you have to make a shtufi mevaz, you have to make a heker, lechi v'kaira, to show that this is distinct from the Rishus HaRabim. But says the Gemara, mavi she'shavel ataychai v'nasimadim Rishus HaRabim, a mavi that's level inside but slopes downwards as it enters the Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, Shavu Rishus HaRabim, it's level with the Rishus HaRabim, but the Mavi itself is Madrin L'Toychai, is on an incline. Oysa Mavi, Ein Tzarch Le'lechav Le'kara. The fact that it has in front of it such a distinct area separates it from the area that's outside of it. And since it separates it from the area that's outside of it, you won't have to have this special heker that Chazal always said of a lechi v'koira. That's how Rashi learns. The Rambam seems to learn that what's the point of a lechi v'koira? Because a lechi v'koira serve as a heker. This is the best heker you could ask for. Ruchanina ben Gamliel Oima, Telem Slaket, Asar Metoich Arba, if you have this mound in the Shus Rabim that has these dimensions, Vizark V'nochal Gabov, and then something landed on top of it, Chayiv, because it's considered a separate Rishus HaYochid. Says the Mishnah, Zorak L'toich Arba Amos. If you threw something within four Amos, and then when this Galgal Chutz L'Arba Amos, but it then rolled out because the wind pushed it past Dalar Amos, you potter. So the simplest way of learning the Mishnah is as we've learned previously in our Masechta. If somebody intended that the Hanocha should be within Dal Ramas, so he didn't intend to have a Hanocha in a place where it's Osir. If it, at the end there was a Hanocha in a place that's Osir, it's not considered that there was that Hanocha should make you Chayiv and Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, if you threw something Chutz L'Arba Amos, you threw something and it flew outside of the Arba Amos. And obviously it's referring to a situation where you were satisfied. It's like we learned earlier, where you said, wherever it lands, it's fine with me. And then it rolls back into the Dalar Amos, then you're going to be chayiv. So the way most Rishonim learned the Gemara, the question that the Gemara is now going to ask is on the second case of the Mishnah. We said that if it went outside of the Dalar Amos, and then even though it comes back in, Yechayiv. But ask the Gemara, for Halay Noch, it never came to rest outside of the Dalar Amos. So why should you be Chayiv? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, absolutely. It's referring to a situation, v'hu shenoch agabe mashu, that it came to rest on something outside of the Dalar Amos, within three tefachim of the ground, so it's considered as if it landed in the Rishus Rabim. And Tanya Nami Hochi, Zorik Chutz L'Arba Amos, V'doch V'aruach V'chnisoi, if you threw something outside of the Dalar Amos, and the wind blew it within the Dalar Amos, Api Shechaz V'tzio, and then it blows out, Potter, because it never came to rest. And you always have to have an Akira from a place of rest. However, Ochsa Ruach Mashu, if it was suspended briefly, even though afterwards it comes back in, Yechayiv. Because as soon as it came even to a minimal rest, it's considered as if it came to rest. Amarav Toich Shloisha, something that's within three tefachim of the ground, Rabbonon, that don't subscribe to the concept of Kluta Kamisha Honcha, it's not going to be considered as if it came to rest. And it won't be considered a hanocha. You have to have tzorach hanocha gabamashu. In order for it to be considered that there was a hanocha, there has to be a hanocha gabamashu. And if there is no hanocha gabamashu, it's not considered a hanocha. Says the Gemara, Yosu Rameima v'kamal hoshmatza. So Rameima was saying over this Gemara. So, as the Rishonim point out, there are many nafkaminas to this Gemara. Because according to this Gemara, and according to Rabbanan, in order to be considered a Hanocha, it has to have a Hanocha Gabe Mashu. So, therefore, according to Rabbanan, if we spoke about a number of situations in our Masechta, a situation of Zorak Mishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Derech Rishus Rabim, or Zorak, the case that we're speaking, where you threw something outside the Dalar Amos and Shusrabim, but it never had a Hanocha until it comes back within the Dalar Amos. Or, in order to be considered a situation of a Shoigig, as we've discussed previously, it has to be that you were a Shoigig throughout the entire duration of the doing of the Malacha. And therefore, if before the Malacha was completed, you recognized that you did something wrong, it's not considered that you did a malacha. So let's say you'll do an akira, and before the object had a hanocha, you realize, oi, I did something wrong. So according to the Rabbana, if you're not going to be considered a shaygig, and you will not be chayiv, a karm chatos. So now the question is, at what point is it considered that you finished the malacha, that you completed the malacha? So the Rabbanan are teaching us here that until it was noch al gabi mashu, it's not considered you did the malacha. So therefore, says the Gemara, Yosem meim rukam al hashmatza, Amalei Ravina L'Rameima, Lav Haina Masnisen, that this, isn't that what we just learned in the Mishnah? That we just learned from Rabbi Yochanan, that if something went out of the Dalet Amis, you're only going to be Chayiv, V'shunach Agave Mashehu. So what are you telling me that isn't really taught in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, Mizgalgal Kamamrit, you're trying to bring a raya from Mizgalgal? Mizgalgal ain't Soifel Anuach. Since it's rolling, it's flying in the air, that's why it's not considered Munach, because it's flying, so I don't consider it at rest. Aval Hai, where something which is within three Tfachim of the ground, Kivin the Soifel Anuach, it's ultimately going to come to rest there. Afagav the Loinach, so I would think that even though it hasn't come to a complete rest, command the noch dummy, it's considered as if it came to rest when it is within three tefachim of the ground. Kamash Malon, that until it actually, it has to have some level of coming to rest. And if it doesn't have some level of coming to rest, according to Rabbanan, it's not considered that there was a hanochim. And the Eretz Tzvi, the Kozel Gavarov, in the Shalos Chuvos Eretz Tzvi, Simen Kuf, Yud Beis says, we need to understand this Gemara. He says, if we subscribe to the concept of Lovid, so then as soon as it's within three tefachim of the ground, it should be considered as if it came to rest on the ground. So you shouldn't need anything. And if we don't subscribe to the concept of Lovid, so then as we're learning in our shir, you should have to have a full-fledged hanocha, a hanocha on something which is a dalad al dalad. So he says that the way to understand the Gemara is that of course the Rabbanan subscribe to the concept of Lovid. As we've discussed previously, Lovid is a halacha l'Moshe Sinai. But what the Gemara means to say here is that the Rabbanan hold, you cannot apply the concept of Lovid unless it's noch agabi mashehu. If it's not noch agabi mashehu, then it's not considered then the concept of Lovid cannot be applied. Says the Mishnah, Hazarik b'yam, if somebody throws something in the water, arba amis potter, because as we learned earlier in our shir, the yam is considered a karmelis, and midaraisa, a karmelis, if you throw something in a karmelis, midaraisa, it's not considered that you were maver, dalar amis, that you should be chayiv. Says the Mishnah further, im hayu rekak mayim, or shus harab mahalsbay, if you have a shallow pool of water, and people walk through that shallow pool of water, Hazarik L'Toycha Arba Amis, somebody throws Dalar Amis there, he's Chayiv, because the pool is considered part of the Rishus Rabbim. The Kama Rekak Mayim, how much is a shallow pool? How deep can this shallow puddle be? And it should still be considered Rishus Rabbim? Pach Masar Tfachim, if it's less than a Sar Tfachim deep. Says the Mishnah, Rekak Mayim Rishus Rabbim Ha'alachas Boy, if you have a shallow pool of water where people pass, Hazarik B'toycha Arba Amis Chayiv. So, our Mishnah says that if somebody carries, our Mishnah taught us the din of Rekak Mayim twice. So obviously the Gemara immediately asks, why are we teaching the same halacha twice? So says the Gemara, Om Layahum Rabbanan L'Rova, Bishlam Ahilach Hilach Trey Zimni, that the Mishnah tells us twice the din of somebody who walks in that place of Rekak Mayim, it's considered Rishus Rabbim, because Hakamashmon, that the Mishnah wants to teach us that Hilch Ayidei Tchak Shmei Hilch, that the place where you walk, even though it's not such a great place to walk, it's a puddle of water, that's considered Halicha, and therefore it's considered Rishus Rabbim, even though, and therefore the puddle of water that's in the Rishus Rabbim, even though it's not that comfortable for people to walk there, it's still considered Rishus Rabbim. And the Tana repeats this din to teach us that Hiluch Ayidei Tchak, a place that people walk, even though it's not comfortable to walk there, is considered Rishus Rabbim. However, a place with Tashmish Ayidei Tchak, where a place that people use the area, but it's not really comfortable to use that area, that is not considered Rishus Rabbim. So the Mishnah is trying to differentiate between Hiluch Ayidei Tchak versus Tashmish Ayidei Tchak. And that Hiluch Ayidei Tchak is considered Hiluch, but Tashmish Ayidei Tchak is not considered tashmish, and such an area would not be considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. So that is an important halacha. Those are important halachas. But ask the Gemara, El Rekak Rekak, why does the Mishnah have to mention the Rekak, the shallow puddle, twice? You can make this lesson without. Answers the Gemara, Chad b'maysa chama, once we're talking about in the summer, v'chad b'maysa gishamim, and once in the winter. And the Gemara explains, v'tzrichi, d'itan echado, if we would have only have learned one of the two situations, Rekak once, have amina, the when is a rekak still considered part of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? In the summer, Davidi Inchi Namazgi Lakuri Nafshayu. People are going to walk through a rekak in the summer because they want to cool off walking through the cool water. Av Maisa Gishanum, where you're cold enough, Loi. So the rekak is a place where people avoid, and therefore it's not considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. V'yeshvim b'mayse gishamim, if we spoke about the winter, the kima de mitnafi, people's shoes and clothing are dirty anyway. Lo'ich pasluhu, they don't. It doesn't bother them walking through the rekak and getting dirty because they're dirty anyway. Ab b'mayse chama, where the clothing is clean, people are not going to walk through the rekak, and therefore it should not be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And therefore the Mishnah had to say rekak twice to teach us that both in the winter and in the summer, the rekak is considered an area which is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Abaye Amar, Abaye gives a different explanation why the Mishnah mentioned rekak twice. Abaye Amar Yitzchak, Sakadat Chemina, because we would think, Hanimila Hechad Olehava Arba Amas, that when the pool is not Dalar Amas wide, so the effort in walking through it is less than the effort required to walk around it. That's why it's still Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Aval Hechad Arba Amas. When the pool is 4 Amas wide, there people are going to walk around it rather than through it. And therefore, since many people walk around it rather than through it, it should not be considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that it's still considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And as I saw the Rishonim point out, it doesn't make a difference. Even if indeed most people walk around it, it still will be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because it's an area that can be walked through and is sometimes walked through. Rav Ashi Amar, a different explanation. Itzrich. Sakat Dat Chamina, Hanimili, the Hava Arba Tvachim. I would say that only where it's Dal Tvachim, that's where people will walk through it rather than jump over it. Ava Hechdoloy Ava Arba, where it's not Arba Tvachim wide. So people, Bifsi Pasalei, what they do is, since it's not so wide, they jump over it, and therefore it's not considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Vaza Rav Ashi L'Tameh, it says the Gemara, Rav Ashi here is consistent with his opinion elsewhere, that even a place that people jump over will still be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Dom Rav Ashi, Hai Man, the Zorek, if somebody threw an object, 4 Amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, V'noch Aguda de Gamle, and it lands on a separate plank of a bridge, that most people don't step on that plank. Still, it's considered as if it landed on the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because people walk on the bridge. Shrei Rabbim Baikenboy, people walk on that bridge. And even though people maybe skip that particular blank, it's still considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Says the Mishnah, Hazoirik men hayam liyabosha. If somebody throws an object from the sea to the abosha, or men hayabosha liyam, or men hayam lasfina, or from the yam to a boat, and the boat here is the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it holds all the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or min asfina l'yam, or vice versa, or you throw something min asfina l'chavita from one boat to another boat, so it's from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid, in all of these cases, you potter, because as we've learned, the yam is a karmelis, and whenever you're transferring from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Yachid or to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's not considered you did a maisa ha'itzor mederaisa, and it's potter. Says the Mishnah, Shvinas Kshura Zubazu, if you have two ships that are tied together without any gap between them, Betatlam Zulazu, you could carry from one to the other, provided if they both belong to one person.
Because as we learned, and we're going to learn, you're allowed to carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid if you own both of those Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I could carry from one room to another room in my home. But if there's two Rosh Hashanah Yachids, even though they're both Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that are right next to each other, but if they're owned by different people, so we know that you can't carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid unless you have a Ruvei Chatzeres. So our Mishnah, the way Rashi learns, is talking about two boats that are next to each other. So if they're tied together, and I own both of them, and there's no gap in between, I could carry from one to the other. However, im einen kshurus, if they're not tied together, afal pi shemekufes, even though there's no gap in between them, im metaltem zu lazu, you can't carry from one to the other, because we're concerned that they may separate. And if the two ships separate, you're going to have a situation that you may be carrying from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Carmelis, from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So our Mishnah says, and we've learned this many times, that a Yam is considered a Carmelis. Why is a Yam considered a Carmelis? So the Magen Avraham teaches us in Siman Shin Hei, Sif Katan Yud, and Skuf Katan Yudalid, because it doesn't have the proper walls of 10 tefachim surrounding it. And therefore, it would seem that if it had those proper walls, it would maybe indeed be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The Meiri seems to say that even if it had the proper walls, but since you can't really see the walls of the sea, they're not considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Dar Sameach says that the fact that the water is constantly in motion within the sea, so that makes that place should not be considered a firm Rishus, a firm Rishus Yachid, and it's considered a Karmelis. There's a beautiful Vart from the Chart Kuvah Rebbe in explaining this Mishnah about the boats that are tied together. He explains that when boats are tied together, when two Neshamas of Jews are connected to each other. And he says that we in this world are to be looked at like boats. We're here traveling for the years that Hashem puts us in the world, and then we go further. So when we, the boats, the people who are traveling the world, are connected to each other, so then we could influence each other, and we can make each other better. Metatlam zuluzu, we could lift up, one can lift up the other. But if we're not connected to each other, we have the Svinas, the people traveling their life through this world are not connected to each other, even if they're physically close, but their neshamis aren't connected to each other, then we can't influence and we can't be the ones that can make somebody else better. So of course the Gemara begins to discuss how people who are on board of a ship, how could they get water from the floor of the ocean, from the ocean to the ship. Itmar. Somebody, says the Gemara, Sfina. If you want to be able to get water out from the sea to the boat, Metzimen is this kol shehu, you just could put out a small stick out of your boat. Refunamim, Metzimen is this kol shehu emal, and you could bring water into the boat. Rav Chizda, Rav Rafuna Amri, Oysimakim Abimal. You have to make a frame of Dalat Amis and carry it through that frame. This is Machlokes Rishonim, how that frame has to look. Some Rishonim say, as long as it's a frame of four sides. Other Rishonim seem to say that the frame has to go down. Rav Huna Amar, so the Gemara explains this Machlokes. Rav Huna Amar, Moitzim Ben Aziz Koshu Mamala, Ksova Karmelis Ma'ara Mashkinen. That what is considered the Karmelis? From the floor of the sea. So the area above that floor, above the sea, is a makom p'tor. So when I'm bringing the water up to my boat, I'm carrying it through a makom p'tor. But then who does this namale by? Because as we've learned, you're allowed to carry from a makom p'tor to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Ella, k'ech de lahav le'akeira, Chazal wanted us to have a heker to remind us that you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Whereas, Rav Chizda v'Rav Barav Huna Amri, you have to make this frame. Because they hold Ksavi Karmelis Misfas Mayim Mishkinan. Where is it considered Karmelis? From the top of the Yam. From the surface of the Yam. Maya Aris Mechta, because the entire sea is considered one mass. Ilav Oven Mokum Arba, so if you're not going to make a separate Shusa Yochid, Kometatl Meshusa Yochid. Karmelis Meshusa Yochid. By making this frame, you're extending the Shus Har Yochid. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Lurava Bar Rav Huna. Ula Rav Huna Da Amal Maitzi Min Aziz Kol Shu Memala. Zimna De Leka Asara. Maybe there won't be a depth of 10 Tefachim. And you are going to be carrying the Kometantlon Mekarmus L'Shus HaYachid. Amalei Gamrinan De Ein Tzfina Malach Zepachs Ma'arba. Its ship never travels in an area that's less than 10 Tefachim deep. Ask them of a Mirsha Islay. The ship has a protrusion that comes out of the water and extends forward from the rest of the ship, and therefore, even though the rest of the ship may not won't travel in water that's not deep, that will. Amar Rav Safra, Shusha is Kamei. There were sailors that always made sure that the ship, even the front of the ship, did not go in water that wasn't 10 tefachim deep, because if it did go in such water, it may get stuck.